This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 8 plus years in that games media combined, we thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you want to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon. At patreon.com/popculturist, head over there, check out the tiers. Might be something there that interests you. I can see you staring at me.
Yeah, I was waiting for my thing, which is it. Now. So if you are a Patreon supporter, you can do, like these lovely people are right now, you can watch us record For The Players live. And that's being a Patreon at any level. And of course, if you also want to show the pop show your support with Pop Culturist on your body, at thepopculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts like this one, like that one, and a bunch of other random crap with our logos on it. And of course, we are over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thepopculturists, where I, depending on this goes up Monday, I may or may not have played some Call of Duty in this weekend. So, yeah. Hey, Bean Man.
I'm coming down with something.
Yeah, the sickness?
Yeah, it's a little bit flat.
Ooh, wah.
No, not the fun sickness. No, I just want to curl up in bed. I've got a fair bit to do today, though. So,
What are you gallivanting today?
Redoing my daughter's room.
Is it because she's finally hit that, like, because she's a teenager now, right?
You're
like,
she's only 14. That
room. Yeah, she's like, I don't want that room
anymore. No, she hasn't said anything about it, but I kind of looked it in. I opened the door the other day. I looked in her room. I'm like, this just really needs a...
It needs a bit more older.
Yeah, so we're going to get a new bed. Get a new desk, new bookshelves, new posters. Just the whole kit and caboodle.
She's stoked on that?
Yeah, she's stoked as. Yeah. Nice. Fortunately, it means her whole wall Joker poster is coming down. It's just not her anymore. She likes it, but it's not current.
Yeah.
You know? So we're getting Panic at the Disco posters and Supernatural posters. And
I'm down for this Panic at the Disco posters.
Supernatural's awesome until season 5.
Yeah.
When Robert Kripke wanted to stop doing it.
I have to say,
it would have been perfect.
I should have a bunch of posters somewhere.
We're up to Supernatural season 13.
13?
Yeah. Kripke left at 5. He's like, the story is done. I want to stop. This is where I always intended it to end. I created the show. Season 5, that's the end. And they're like,
how'd season 5 end? Spoilers.
Kind of making us a lot of money, so we're going to get someone else and keep doing it.
CW, like, this is like one of the best shows, but this is before they had the DC TV, so...
Season 5 ended, I think, with Sam being permadead.
Yeah,
Got into Castiel came down, the angels, God... Sam eventually did become the vessel for Lucifer.
Ah, yes.
And their half-brother was the vessel for Michael.
Yes.
I think at the end of the season 5, they both fought each other down to the pits of hell. And Dean's just like, no. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, I think that's season 5 and how it ended.
Yeah, I remember, that rings bells.
Yeah, yeah. The first few seasons were an emotional show.
Yeah.
Back then. Like, it got me a few times, like, in tears and stuff. Especially when their dad died. And, like, Sam walks in and then, like, the slow-mo coffee drop and he's, like, skidding across the floor because his dad's, like, you know, died on the ground to save Dean's life. I'm like... it was good after season 5. I don't know what's happening
now. Yeah, I think we might rewatch it. The wife is watching Gilmore Girls again for, like, the 18th time.
Mm.
So I'm like, can we watch anything else?
Yeah.
Mind you, every time she watches it, I get a little bit more invested in that show. Like, every time.
Dean did voice... Jensen Ackles did voice Red Hood in the Red Hood animated.
Jared Padalecki was in Gilmore Girls, but he didn't play Sam. He played a character named Dean.
Yeah, I
know. So it's very confusing.
And then also in Under the Red Hood, Neil Patrick Harris was the Riddler.
That was a really good video. That was a really good film, really. Under the Red Hood.
Yeah.
What have you been playing?
No Man's Sky next.
Ooh, we'll get to
that. We're going to talk about that. That's the feature. I did end up picking up Killzone Shadowfall after we finished recording last week. Played it for a couple hours. It was ahead of its time in its graphics, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, by today's standards, I got out into the open and I was like, fuck, this looks good as. Very heavy. compared to what we're used to with shooters these days. You know, fast fluid motion, jetpacks, wall running, whereas it's really like precise and methodical, like you swap your guns.
Like it's like you're in a big suit.
Yeah, you don't swap your guns like you're like, it's like, you know, put that one away, pull the other one out. Yeah, it feels very good. I did want to play multiplayer. It's fucking Ghost Town. I mean, I don't know what I expected. It's like 5 years old at this point. There are a few players. It's like, how many active games are there? One with seven people in it. And then it just fills it out with bots otherwise.
Did you play with those seven people though?
I did for a bit. I got fucking hammered. Those seven people have been playing for 6 years, I guess. But no, it's good. I do want to... I never finished the story in it. It's the only Killzone I haven't finished yet. So I am going to get through it. Bit more Fortnite. I think I've had enough.
You done
with
Fortnite?
I think I'm done with it. I get on every week just to do the weekly challenges to up the battle pass. I don't play it otherwise. I don't play it for fun anymore. It's like, oh, it's Friday night. I've got to get on and do much. It's like a chore. And I don't enjoy myself while I'm playing it, really. So I think I'm ready to just kind of... I think Alex is getting there as well. He's playing a lot more other games with his friend. You know, they've made a Minecraft world together and they're playing COD together.
See, that is the thing. Like, I'm not saying that the Fortnite will be a bubble, but it's a bubble. Like, there is a point where people will get bored of it. Like, you can't play the same game for a year.
And the timing of it all will be when COD and Battlefield come out with their Battle Royale modes. So, I think the COD Battle Royale is going to get a huge initial player base, but they stick around or not, we don't know.
It all comes down to like whether it's tight. Yep. But
can we mention our
So look, if I may or may not have, depending on what this goes up Monday, I've likely have streamed some of the Call of Duty Black Ops 4 beta. So thank you to Activision Australia for providing both of us codes to be able to play that beta.
Both of us codes.
Yours hasn't
if
come
I
yet.
Get mine, I will join you on stream from my house.
We get the codes, we have to put them into the
computer.
Into the Activision website.
Yeah.
Then it spits it out at some point.
Yeah.
So
did you get yours instantly?
Or no.
Did you,
okay. Mine took about a day.
If I can get it downloaded before you stream, I'll join you on stream. I don't know if you can work it so you can hear mine.
We can run you through the Discord. That's fine.
From home or something. Yeah. But also, those codes also will allow us to early access to the Battle Royale mode. In September.
So you'll if you hang around in September,
a stream worth doing.
We'll be streaming the Battle Royale mode.
People will want to see.
Yeah. That. I want to see that.
Me too. Because of what we did just tamper with those couple rounds, it feels good. I think, like, it felt comfortable.
Well, yeah. Well, let's have a quick check. Like I said, look, granted, because it is Saturday, the beta launched about 3 o'clock this morning. Mm. We really haven't spent a lot of time with it.
We played two rounds.
It's got a couple of the things from the older, like Black Ops, which is, you know, the sliding and the stuff, which sort of Advanced Warfare and Black Ops 3.
No wall running or jetpacks.
No wall running or jetpacks that we've seen. Mm.
They've got that class system again from Black Ops 3. Couple returning, couple of new ones. Well, we didn't get a good chance to go real deep in with them, but it seems like in this you don't get your, you know, concussion and damage grenade, though your triggers are replaced by two abilities that they have on top of their ultimate ability.
Yeah, one of them being like a stim pack, because you can now see how much health you have.
Yeah, you have health bars now, which I think is cool. I don't know, didn't get a chance to notice if they regen themselves over time, or if there are health kits around or something, or if everyone has their L1 as their healing ability.
I believe so.
Kind of thing. The class where you played, you push R1, you put down like a barbed wire fence. The enemy can't cross and can't jump over. I guess it damages them. Might be instant kill. Don't know. No one ran into it.
Yeah.
And then
we put it down, got shot, and like, that was it.
But a lot of those will, I think it will lend to certain game modes kind of wanting certain classes because they excel in that particular game mode, like the one we were playing where it's like...
We were playing Control. Playing Control. Essentially, so capture the flag.
Essentially fence off one of the areas, so that's one less alleyway that enemies can get to you. So that, you know, that's handy. And then also the big barricade that we put down as well for the ultimate.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to go through all the classes and see how they all interact with each other. There might be cool things, you know, when you got this guy and this guy, you know, their abilities kind of go hand in hand together or something like that.
Yeah, so like with the success of like Rainbow Six Siege and stuff, which is a very class-based shooter, it makes sense while other people are starting to take those little things. Because one thing we did notice in the list of game modes, it very clearly stated that... that, you know, it's about working together as a team, which is weird because that's not what Call of Duty's for.
No.
Call of Duty is the lone gunman. Like, yeah, it's you running in, just blitzing, like, not worrying about your team. Mm. That's Battlefield's jam.
Yeah, whether it'll kind of push for a culture shift in it or not, I don't know.
But yeah, there was, like, there was the, was it Conquest in World War II?
Mm.
There was that constantly put that moving battlefield, the war mode.
What it was called,
that war was mode. Fucking awesome. That was cool. That was a good working together mode. So
people still kind of did their own thing.
Though. Yes, but like the
better.
Because
everyone
big
working towards the
from.
Same goal.
Yes.
So, you know, stop the tanks or fuel up the tanks or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And like if they're making that shift, I think that's probably better because, you know, a lot of, like, I don't know, me personally, when I play and I'm like, everyone's just lone gunning it, like, it's not as fun.
Yeah. But
I'm also garbage at the game, so it kind of goes either way.
That's a given as well.
Yeah.
I want to play more.
Yeah, I'm keen.
I liked what I saw initially, but we only had 10 minutes play time so far.
Yeah, I'm keen to spend some more time with it, as it hopefully I've streamed it probably this evening. That's Saturday, so I hope you enjoyed it, I guess. I'm more curious for Blackout in September, but it's more Call of Duty, and I like it.
Yeah,
it's funny. Like, as you know, like those.
I like it in short bursts.
Yeah,
I can't do it like I used to, where I'd be, you know, prestiging on the first day and stuff like that. But I went back and played World War II during the week this week, just because I felt like I don't want to play Overwatch. I don't want all that class based shit. I don't want the building and shit of Fortnite. I just want to get a gun and just shoot people. So I jumped into World War II.
Yeah,
and it was fun for a few hours.
Nice.
Yeah, but I probably won't play it again for ages. It's yours for starters.
What is?
Your copy of World War II.
Oh.
I traded mine in.
Nice.
Cool. I had enough of it. And get a game, play it for a while. I'm done with it. Alex is like, yeah, Alex hasn't played it for 3 months. I'm like, I'm just going to trade it in. We're going to play it. And then the next day, Alex is like, can I play that game that you traded in yesterday that I don't know that you traded it in?
Man, the amount of games that you and I must have between each other's houses.
I have your No Man's Sky and your copy.
Yeah, and I think I have your Far Cry Primal still.
Far Cry Primal. I think that's it.
Yeah. I know, because like, I'm like, I didn't even know you had my copy of World War II. There we go. How's that?
I have your John Wick as well.
Yeah. Have you been playing nothing else?
No, just pretty much No Man's Sky, which we'll save for later.
Yeah, so I jumped into some No Man's Sky this week too. I played some bit more Stardew Valley on the Switch. Like, I'm in this weird predicament right now. The predicament is I'm having such a good time playing Stardew Valley again.
Hmm.
I'm kind of thinking, like, in the same way I did with God of War, I'm like, I love this so much. I want to get that platinum.
I don't think I've looked at. Oh, so on PS4, though.
Yeah. So I'm debating.
I think I've never looked at the trophy list for it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've had a mild look at it, and, like, it doesn't seem too difficult. It's mostly like sell X amount of this, build X amount of that, you know, like
it's all numbers based.
Yeah,
but then it could also be like stupid numbers based.
It could be. And
but
like,
by the end of my third year in Stardew Valley, I think I was making like a million every couple days. You know, just with the epic farm I had. Let's have a look. Earn gold up to 1 million, complete the museum collection. That's an RNG thing, so that might take a while.
Yes, but if you play long enough, I think you'll just get, like, if you just mine every day and get ores and that sort of garbage, you should be able to do that, all right?
Basically, reach max friendship with everyone.
Yeah, you'd have to, there'd be a lot of focus time on
cook
that one, I think.
Every recipe. There's many.
Many.
Upgrade your house to the maximum size. Craft every item possible. Catch every fish. It's just a collectathon, basically. Ship every item. Now, some of those will be hard because there's no way to track. You know, it's like ship every item, but there's no way to track what you've shipped, is there?
Yeah. So if you go into your menus and you move across, it'll show you what you've cropped.
Oh, you have to do two saves though. One of them you have to fully upgrade the community center, and one of them you have to side with Jojo.
Mm.
So that's two playthroughs up to a certain point.
Well, because all you need is really $5,000 to buy the JoJo account and then you're done, right?
And purchase all the community development perks.
Become
a JoJo Co member and purchase all the community development perks. I don't know what they cost.
Yeah, that's kind of bite.
But it's also...
And they have a wife and two kids.
But it's also just something you can just chip away at. Like, I'm chipping away at the Persona 5 Platinum. I want it. It's a hard Platinum. Not hard, hard, but a time sync Platinum. But every month I'll jump in for a few hours and just kind of just chip away a little bit more. So maybe that's what you can do.
The big benefit of playing on the Switch, obviously, is like I can play it at work.
Yeah. You could just... Does it have cross-save with Vita? Is it on the Vita?
It is on the Vita.
Is it cross-save?
I don't know. But I know they just updated the... apparently there was a big... I come to learn there was a glitch on the Vita where if you earned over a certain amount of gold, it just, like, crapped itself. It is cross-buy. I know that.
Sorry for the silence. I'm just...
That's all right. Yeah.
Someone posed the question and 2 months later, they also said, does no one know? I just downloaded the Vita version. It did not show me my PS4 saves. Maybe there's a way to import the saves, but I doubt it.
All right. Yeah, so that's fine. I can probably start on the Vita.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
See, if you start with a platinum run in mind, you might be able to work.
Yeah.
To it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've not been. As I said, I still haven't put Order in the PS4 yet.
And you won't.
I probably won't. Mm. I kind of want to, but I'm just. We're just about to get into like the gnarly part of the year. I've reached out for Spooderman. Mm. I'll be reaching out for Tomb Raider as well, and I did reach out for Overcooked 2. Mm. That does come out next week though, so sure I know some people already have it. Yep. So I think I reached out a little bit too late, but if not, I'm just gonna fucking buy it. And This Is the Police 2 is out on PC.
Okay, what's the difference?
I have
what
no idea.
What more were they about it?
I don't know. But I think I might wait because there is coming to console later in the year. Mm. So I think I might wait till consoles, and then we'll plan ahead and we'll do it again. Kill that price bitch straight away.
Hmm. Once she make a return.
Yeah, she's from the dead. Then kill her again.
Zombie price. Ah.
But anyways, that is what we've been doing. So now we jump into the section where we tell you about what things are happening this week in PlayStation. In a section we call Inform the Players.
8 bits of news this week. Number one, Sony has revealed that the last quarter's PS4 hardware sales has brought the total units sold to 82.2 million. Sony has released its quarter one financial year 2018 figures, which reveals that 3.2 million PS4 units were shipped to retailers in the period between April 1st and June 30th, bringing the total number of consoles shipped since its introduction to the market 5 years ago to 82.2 million. The figure is down from the same period last year, but Sony's forecast for the year predicts that sales will be down by 3 million year on year, with total units sold in the vicinity of 16 million.
Yeah, so it is interesting that it's 82.2 million shipped.
Well, the first part of the article said sold, and then the second part says shipped. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's called clickbait.
But yeah, so obviously there's going to be a drop.
Yes, because we are on that borderline. I do think, as we've discussed before, that PS5 is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, there will be a decline.
Yeah, so pretty much, like I said, 3 million sales drop year on year. But they've got a fair few large games coming out in the next 18 months.
So with Spider-Man and, of course, the Spider-Man Special Edition console, which we didn't talk about here for some reason.
Couldn't care less.
Yeah, that was why I just wanted to talk about that. it's red with the big old white symbol on it.
Yeah, you know, they got Spider-Man, Days Gone, Last of Us 2, Death Stranding, Ghost of Tsushima, all within the next
year and a half, 2 years.
So, you know, they're obviously big games. And God of War would have given them a big boost in April as well.
It did. I believe God of War has now sold 10 million copies. Mm-hmm. I think I saw a report the other day.
It's closed properly today.
No, James can't get in.
He's almost big enough to reach the handle, though.
Yeah, he is velociraptoring his way into the bathroom. So I think he will learn how to get in here. At least he's polite and he knocks. Mm. That's very nice.
Number two, the upcoming Spyro Reignited Trilogy will require significant downloads for some sort of Spyro 2 Ripto's Rage and Spyro Year of the Dragon. The game's official website points out two of the three games on retail discs, those last two games, will require download. When reached for comment about what that specifically means, Activision provided IGN with the following statement. Quote, as with most games today, downloading an update after purchase is quite common. The language on packaging and on the web is to let players know the requirements for Spyro Reignited Trilogy.
What a vague fucking statement.
That'd be pretty shit. I mean, I don't know why they would do that when they didn't with Crash. See, but Spyro is a significantly larger game.
Yes, but it's still PS1 games. Like, it's just more open. Like, can it be...
You got all the textures and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't believe that they wouldn't all fit on a disc. I mean, you're getting The Witcher on a disc.
Yeah, you got to remember, like a Blu-ray disc is like 50 to 100 gig.
Something like that, I don't know.
And you're telling me that three Spyro games are the equivalent of 50 to 100 gig? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, so I don't know what they mean by...
Because I know an example on the Switch, right, with Wolfenstein, only because of the size, because of the capacity of the card, it's the you get about half the game or just the single player or something. There's like a portion of the game needs to be downloaded. And same as Doom, the single player is on the card, multiplayer was downloaded.
That's only going to get worse for the Switch over time.
Oh yeah, man, that's weird.
They're gonna, I don't know.
Honestly, yeah, complete side conversation.
The Switch is great now, but once we move into the next gen, I mean, what are they gonna do? The Switch 2, but there's only so much they can pack into this little handheld thing, right?
And obviously, the processing power is not capable.
Obviously, technology moves forward, but you know, the Switch isn't as powerful as what we have now, but that's offset by you can pick it up and take it anywhere. And then we're gonna get the PS5 and Xbox, whatever. And then the
Xbox Scarlet, apparently. Ooh. Have you heard about that?
No.
Side note. So Xbox are apparently looking at releasing two boxes. Mm. The Xbox Scarlet is what the code name is, and Xbox Scarlet Cloud. So they'll have one, which is a regular console like we have now, and then one will be a completely cloud-based system. So there'll be no disc drive, nothing. You're essentially be using it for Game Pass and game streaming.
Sorry, Australia, you should not buy that console.
Which will not work for us here. Like, even me with the NBNs,
I'm
not a chance.
Honestly, when next gen comes, I'm still not averse to buying an Xbox first if they can convince me I should.
Yeah,
because I did it current gen. I regretted it in the end. But the Microsoft we have now is very different to what we had at launch. Mm-hmm. And when it comes time for the releases, if I like what I see more on the Xbox, then I love PlayStation, but I'm also kind of like fresh experience, you know?
Yeah.
Especially like with my PlayStation, what I hate. I don't know where we're fucking going with this. When I go to my library and my trophies and there's just all this shit. Just it's all clogged up with all these fucking shit games and trophies at 1 or 0% completion. And
you know, you can piss off the 0% ones.
Yeah, but most of them are all 1.
Oh.
And then, I look at like my purchases, there's just all this crap. It's like, I need a fresh experience, you know, kind of. But I also want to play the good games. So that's my trade.
Well, because I'm in the same boat, to be honest with you. Like, PS5's day one purchase, like, it's a given. Well, one, because it's content for us, and two, because I want it. But if the Xbox is impressive, which it may be, I'm not getting that fucking cloud-based one, because the whole idea of not technically owning a game hurts
me. I like
me.
The idea
of
the cloud one. If we had the internet to support it, sure.
And Microsoft are looking to be heading into that direction as well, like with Games Pass and all that sort of stuff, and what they're doing with the Play Anywhere. Like, they are going into a sort of a, like,
a more digital.
Yeah, a more digital space.
But the Games Pass, you download the games.
Yeah.
Like, you're not streaming the games.
Yeah.
You literally download them to.
As I'm saying, I think the console has that storage capability, but there's no, like, store. There's no disc.
But they're going to have by default, you know, 8 terabyte hard drives.
Yeah,
surely.
Fierce,
Back on the Switch, though.
And then back on...
Yeah, because the Switch is not as good as what we have now, and then we're going to get the next gen, and whatever the next Switch is will be as good as what we have now.
Yeah.
You know, it's always going to be that little step behind.
They've always been a gen behind.
But the disparity in, like, storage sizes on the cards and all that, that's going to be a tricky thing for work right now. Anyway.
But just like Spyro, it makes no sense. It's baffling that they can't fit that on that fucking disc.
Yes.
Baffling.
Yeah.
God damn baffling.
Number 3, announced during Gen Con 2018.
Ooh, Paul's got a point. Ryan can claim the PS5, but on tax.
Why could you and not me?
Because we can for here, for Pop C, but I can also do it for my new job.
Because I'm an apprentice, I get half price rego as well.
Ooh.
Like, permanently.
That reminds me, I need to do my tax.
Yeah. Anyway, I did mine online. Announced during Gen Con 2018, an official Horizon Zero Dawn board game is in the works. It's being produced by Steamforged Games, the same studio that made the Dark Souls board game.
Which Max still wants you to play.
Yeah. Steamforged said that they've actually been developing the game since before Horizon Zero Dawn even released on PS4, and they've been working directly with Sony and Guerrilla for at least 2 years.
Very cool.
In fact, Steamforged even told IGN that Guerrilla is referring to the board game as the next Horizon Zero Dawn game. And while it's not overly heavy on story, it is canon within that world. Ooh. It will be set after the events of the video game and DLC, and feature main characters such as Aloy as event cards that can be encountered. The whole game is estimated to take 1.5 to 2 hours, and a single session will be a series of 5 or so hunts that progressively get harder. You pick a class with a unique deck of skills at the start, and then replace worse cards for better ones as you get stronger, before trying to take down the final giant creature. Guerrilla gave Steamforged the actual 3D models to use as reference, because this game has miniatures. Those show up on modular board that changes with each fight, which are tactical with an emphasis on stealth, like the video game. This sounds cool as balls, yeah. Man.
Paris, if you're watching, we need just this the for whole work. We need this for work.
Just the one, the whole being modular, which like Dark Souls is, because yeah. You know the board changes every game. And that, you know, you've got your your class with your cards, like, you know, you've probably got a bow that does 3 damage, and then, you know, you play through the game, you get to replace your bow with a stronger one, or get to get new skills and build your character. And the miniatures look incredible. Mm. They look really, really incredible and very high quality. Like the Dark Souls ones as well look great too.
Like, there are a bunch of video game board games out there, like obviously Dark Souls being one. I saw a Fallout one the other day. Mm. Speaking of Paris, who's the German I work with, he's a big board game enthusiast. He has XCOM, he has World of Warcraft.
Mm.
The board game. Mm. I'm like, what the fuck?
Is it the WoW Monopoly?
No, it's actual. That's actual World of Warcraft. Yeah, the board game. Yeah. So it's very.
I've got the WoW Monopoly. It's good.
Obviously, there's a way to transfer it to like a board game setting. I do think Horizon will fit quite nicely.
Yeah, and it's like Steamforged are kind of carving their spot in the market of being, you know, the guys that do this and do it very well.
Mm.
And you know, they're probably going to have, if this is a success, which I'm sure it will be, they'll probably have developers approaching them. Hey, what can you do with our IP?
Yeah.
You know, let's talk. And so it's cool. I like it a lot. Number 4, parents across the world are starting to pay for tutors to help their kids develop skills in Fortnite. The Wall Street Journal wrote an article detailing various parents and their children involved in this phenomenon, interviewing them about their experiences. Some parents claim they simply don't want their kids losing matches. Others are taking lessons for themselves so they aren't so embarrassed when they play the game. And some are even taking lessons alongside their kids as a bonding experience. These coaches are typically found on social media or contracting sites, with one site claiming it has hired over 1,400 Fortnite coaches since March. The one line in this that I'm like, come on, is some parents claim they simply don't want their kids losing matches. You're setting him up for a very hard adulthood.
Yes, but at the same time, that's the whole point. The whole point of the game is to not lose matches. So it's, I don't think it's more of a, oh, I don't want you to lose to me. It's okay. It's more like, look, you don't want to lose. Let's get you better. Which in theory is a good life skill.
But you also need to think like
if you're not really good at math, if you're losing at math, you get a tutor to get better.
Granted, maths is important.
Yeah. See, that's this is that distinction, right? You know. As if we were an old man, like, you know, like yelling at people for like video games, like, granted, in a world of esports, this is not entirely stupid,
yeah.
But they could ask be good. Granted, it's taking away from like what could be school. Yeah. I don't know.
And the thing is, like, when you die in Fortnite, you know, you take it as like I'm not very good. But you got to think, in that one game of the millions that are happening, 98 other people died as well.
Exactly.
You know, so it's not, you got to try not to take it so personally. Yeah, you died, but so did nearly 100 other people in the course of this one game. So, you know, but it's also important to learn how to deal with losing at the same time.
And I think that might be part of it. Mm. Maybe, you know, because maybe part of that tutoring is to be like, look, as that, like, they crack the shits when they lose, they maybe these young kids, anger issues and whatnot.
Mm. I've made Alex turn it off a few times. I can sense it when the frustration's starting to climb, because I get it too.
You broke controls.
And I broke controls, and I've, you know, it's been me for like 20 years now getting. I'm like, turn it off half an hour, and he'll turn it off half an hour, and everything's cool. Yeah, just because it eats away at you.
Mm.
But then what if the kid's like getting all these lessons and they still fucking suck? Like, where's this confidence going in? I'm being taught and I still can't do it.
That was me with math. My mum paid a tutor every week to teach me, like, math methods, and I still got, like, an N of, like, 25 for that class. Overall, I got noticeably money. Worse.
Number 5, do you have anything more to add to that.
It's dumb, but I get it. And I like the idea of the bonding experience. It's really cool. Because, you know, like the same thing, if my dad was like, hey,
it seems to be together. Parents are probably the generation up from us.
Yeah.
Because, like, our generation, we just sit down and play it with them. You know, it's not a thing.
There is also the big difference of, like, because we're right on the cusp between those two generations, and because of our situation, like, how many other 30-year-olds don't play games?
Zero.
There are some.
Wouldn't be a majority, though.
Once again, we circle ourselves in very, like, gaming. Oh, yeah, pretty much echoes.
Everyone you hung out with at the footy last night.
Oh, yeah, none of them would have given two... Like I said, there was a bunch of probably same age around us, none of them give two fucks about games.
I did work at a client's house the other day. I like scoping out what consoles they have, just to kind of gauge what kind of person they are, whether a piece of shit or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw a piece from, like, good start, and then I saw AFL Evolution sitting next to it, and that was the only game there. I'm like... Number five, Monster Hunter World
Sales.
It's
not the issue that it's the AFL game. It's the issue that it's the bad game.
It's the issue that it's the only game. Their whole opinion on gaming is based on AFL Evolution.
It's a bad place to be.
Monster Hunter World Sales have surpassed 8 million units on PS4 and Xbox One before the PC release coming later this month. Capcom has announced that Monster Hunter World's physical shipments and digital sales have hit 8.3 million units as of last fiscal quarter, which saw the company's net sales increase by 46.5%. year over year. Quote, in this business, the phenomenal success of Monster Hunter World for PS4 and Xbox One from the previous fiscal year continued, with the title gaining further popularity through the expansion of its user base. In scoring a worldwide smash hit, the series solidified its position as an international brand and strengthened our base IP, Capcom said. So that one game is responsible for increasing their net sales by nearly 50%.
That's fantastic.
It's fucking insane.
Side note, comes out on PC in about a week. That's what 2 weeks. Said. Oh, yeah, sorry. On Steam, it's been the best-selling game on Steam, pre-orders alone, for about 3 weeks.
Mm. And I did catch someone streaming it on PC, preview code or whatever, at, I fucking hate that I'm saying, at 4K60.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, that looked so... And the loading times. You know, remember how you'd like accept quest and then it's like loading quest? And then it's like... And then you got to like call your bird. Probably about 60 seconds on PS4.
Yeah.
And even the Pro PC, whatever this guy was playing on, about 6 seconds.
Yeah.
The quest was ready instantly and there was no loading screen. You'd fade out with the bird and then just fade back in to the world. Fucking insane. And yeah. Because I played that game so much, I can kind of recognize the difference without seeing it side by side. Oh, holy crap, it looked good. But yeah, so 8.3 million units without even being on PC, not factoring PC sales. PC has a lot of hype behind it, like you said. Top selling game on Steam and it's a pre-order.
Would you buy it again?
No, my PC couldn't do it. To get 4K60, my PC couldn't do it, so I'm not going to buy it again. But I did jump back into that recently too, just for a bit of fun. Still, 8 months later, still releasing free content. This week, the big Final Fantasy crossover events happened. Just every month, there's something. They're really supporting this game, and it's paying off for them. So I'm very... good job. I'm happy for them. It's cool to see a very cultish kind of game hit that mainstream.
Mm.
Cool to see. Number six, BioWare has confirmed that while the team is working hard on the upcoming Anthem, there are still teams working on beloved franchises Mass Effect and Dragon Age. In BioWare's midsummer update, General Manager Casey Hudson stated, quote, we hear loud and clear that the interest in BioWare doing more Dragon Age and Mass Effect. So rest assured that we have some teams hidden away working on some secret stuff I think you'll really like. We're just not ready to talk about any of it for a little while. This should lend some hope to fans of Mass Effect who... which was last year said to be put on hold following the launch of Mass Effect Andromeda.
Now, it has been on the rumour mill that that there is a new Dragon Age. I think that's in active production.
Yes.
I think Mass Effect will be in very early pre.
Like, oh, fucking nice.
With the limited success of Andromeda, it's shelved. It's like, let's sit there and tweak it and make it work.
Yeah. I mean, BioWare's a big studio.
But they're not rushing to it.
So it's not too surprising to think they have a couple of smaller teams, you know, doing pre-production or whatever for these other games. I'm just happy to hear that, yes, like confirmed from BioWare that, yes, Dragon Age is in the works in some fashion.
Beautiful.
So Dragon Age is amazing. I mean, I fucking love that game. And Inquisition was, I think, very, very underrated. It was clunky. It had a few things to be like, it's a bit weird. I don't really like.
Speaking
but
of,
overall,
don't
the game
let
was
me forget.
Sick.
I need to lend you Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. The Jason Schreier book.
Okay.
I finished it. There's a chapter in there about Dragon Age Inquisition. Mm-hmm. There's one about The Witcher. There's one about Stardew Valley. Like, you'll get a kick out of it.
Yes,
like, hard.
Cool. Number 7, the August 2018 PlayStation Plus lineup has been revealed. I'm gonna go from down up.
Yeah.
I feel like leaving PS4 till last. Because you're like, PS4, ooh, and then everything else is pretty much just irrelevant at this point. So you'll get Knowledge is Power on August 7th.
Which is one of the PlayLink games, so similar to how Here They Lie... Not Here They Lie.
Hidden Agenda
was there, because I'd have spoiled the next one.
And that's you.
Then that's you, yeah.
That will be from August 7th for all the way through to November. Here They Lie, August 7th for PSVR, all the way through to October.
That's a very scary PSVR game. It was actually quite unnerving.
For Vita, you'll get Space Hulk and Draw Slasher. For PS3, you'll get Serious Sam 3, BFE, and
Big
Bound
fucking
by
edition.
Bound by Flame. For PS4, you'll get Dead by Daylight and Mafia 3.
Mafia 3 was alright. Having it free, I think people will jump in there a lot, actually.
And Dead by Daylight is just another zombie game.
Yeah, we've got the collector's edition in here, the 2K sent us for some reason.
For Mafia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's so weird.
Got the cool vinyls and stuff.
Yeah.
So not bad.
Not a horrible month.
The bloke I work with is pretty keen for Mafia 3.
Good.
So even though it's not in my circle, obviously doesn't mean there aren't other people.
Well, we were super keen on it when we saw it at EB Expo that year, and then it came out a week later and we played it and we're like, it's fine.
Yeah, this is fine. And the top selling games for week ending, I just forgot to put the date, the 31st of July?
Sure.
Yeah, that. Or like the 20th, whatever the last fucking week in July was. Number 10, Crash Insane Trilogy. Number 9, PlayStation Hits, Ratchet and Clank. Number 8, Sonic Mania. Number 7, PlayStation Hits, Uncharted 4. Number 6, PlayStation Hits, The Last of Us. Number 5, Detroit, Become Human. Number 4, GTA 5. Number 3, Far Cry 5. Number 2, Shadow of Mordor. Number 1, God of War.
Shadow of Mordor is on sale with currently the winter sale on the PlayStation store.
And the PlayStation Hits are obviously doing their job, because now there's 3 of them in there, up from 2. Yeah, not too much more to say. Detroit climbed back up. Cool.
I think it might also be on sale as well.
Yeah, no one's touching God of War till Spider-Man comes out. What are you doing?
Sorry, my phone's yelling at me. It's here as well.
You can't just
leave. No, I thought it was important. I'm like, who's it? No, we're good. All right.
All right, that's it for the news, Ryan, as we have a chat to the players about No Man's Sky next.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very large update from Hello Games. I'm actually going to bring up
the full thing. Okay, so for those that were not in the loop, No Man's Sky was a game released by a company called Hello Games about 2 years ago on the PlayStation 4 and the PC. This game received a number of bits of backlash upon release, as the creator and the sort of the face of the company, Sean Murray, made many sort of proclamations, you know, and things saying this game is going to be this, it's going to be this. And PlayStation, to their fault, really pushed this game to like extraordinary hype levels.
To the moon.
They put it into the stratosphere. We're saying the game's going to be this next big thing, and then upon release, it wasn't. One of the biggest potential reasons for this, with Hello Games being a small independent company who up until this point had made 2 games.
I'm of a firm believer that if Sean Murray just didn't do any interviews, this would have been accepted just fine.
Yeah.
Because when it came out, it was a good game, but it wasn't what we were told we were going to get.
Exactly. So over the last 2 years, the team have actually kind of gone radio silent. They've bunkered down and they've released a number of smaller updates. Everything culminating into this latest DLC, which is called The Next Update.
Free.
For free.
Free.
All of these updates have been free.
So first off, I just want to tip my beanie to Hello Games, because they could have really just kind of gone, just take the money and this didn't work, let's do something else. But they really...
Let's run away from this garbage fire.
Let's rebrand, you know, let's split to a different studio or whatever.
We're now called Sorry Games.
Goodbye Games. but they stuck with it for 2 years.
Yeah.
They clearly... which says to me they care a lot about this game. It was very clearly a very passionate thing for them. Because a lot of other studios would have just gone, we got our money. It's fine.
Yeah, if it was any bigger studio, if it was an Activision or an EA, this studio would no longer exist.
We've seen it happen before with bigger studios, you know, releasing a piece of shit and then going, it's not getting any more updates.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Well, even something like, even Sony to their detriment, like Gravity Rush 2, right? Didn't do so well. It had an online servers or whatever because there were some online parts of it. Within a year, they mentioned they were going to close down. Fans petition, got another 6 months out of it.
Yeah.
But the whole idea is like, yeah, within 12 months, they're like, no, we're pulling service because they're not playing it.
And so I think it's just a nice story in the current gaming climate when, you know, it's always so negative. There's always just shit and things being turned into memes and all this sexual assault. It's just to have a nice, simple redemption story.
Yeah.
Wasn't good, go quiet. Make it good.
It's gone bonkers.
Quote, quote, make it good. Is it good? I didn't play it originally. I lent it off you about 6 months after release because Alex wanted to play it. I watched him play it for a couple of days. All right. I was like, yeah, it's cool. But I thought with the next, I'm going to see what this is about. And I fucking love it. I've put in about 15 hours in three days. I can't put this game down. First of all, what they've added. They finally added in the multiplayer, which they said... was going to be in the original... Not... They didn't say multiplayer was going to be in the original game, no, but it was like a shared world. No.
He said, if myself and one of the interviews were like, can I be on the same planet as somebody else and can we see each other? And Sean Murray said yes.
Yeah, no, but that... Not quite multiplayer, as in that's the shared world.
No.
It's a little bit different.
Sean Murray...
I know what he said.
Said yes. Like, in terms of what we were told, yes. There was that shit, like, when if you happen to find the same planet as somebody else, you didn't see a person. You're still, like, some vague fucking star thing. Like, so in terms of what we were told there was going to be multiplayer, that wasn't there. But now, they finally have it as promised, as you said.
So you can group up with up to four friends, and you can have 16 people on the same server, or whatever, the same instance of the universe, however you want to call it. I haven't tried that yet. Because I'm still kind of finding my feet.
When I streamed it on Wednesday, we had one of our friends, Blair, who's also offered to help rebuild the table because he has carpentry skills. As I was playing on the planet next to him, hear this, and this big fucking jet comes out of nowhere, and it's this tradie rooster, which is his handle, and I'm like, oh shit, it's Blair!
Yeah.
He walks out of his ship.
Hey, man,
what's up? And he starts digging holes.
They
and
also added base building. Which
Base building has been in a while. It was originally
they've
in.
Expanded.
They have expanded. There was an update about 6 months ago, and that was one of the first big ones. Pathfinder was the update.
Okay, so they've expanded on that in a lot of ways, and that's pretty much what the whole subreddit for No Man's Sky is now. Look at what I've built. Look at what I've done. People are building some sick shit, man. Someone built. I'm actually going to show you this. I saved this as a screenshot because I'm like, that is. One of the coolest.
Yeah, so in terms of the base building, originally it was kind
someone
of like
basically built Rapture. This big underwater city.
Hot damn.
And it's just so cool. Because that's essentially my goal in No Man's Sky is to find a nice planet and just build a swanky ass house. Like, that's what I want to do. How long that takes me, I don't know. Because I've been to a few planets. I'm like, not here. Oh, radiation. But I'm just really enjoying that. Aspect of it, you know, land on a planet. Am I going to be here for a while? I think so. I'm just going to build a little house to put my shit in and that kind of stuff. What else we got? Third person view for the starship and your character, which is cool, and also some character customization.
Which also it's really cool.
Weird.
It's really cool, but the controls are kind of janky in third person.
Yeah, the aiming. I feel like the right stick is
the aiming's
you gotta,
off.
Like if you want, or like if you want to loot a box, you got to kind of move back a bit so your reticle moves onto the box.
So in terms of the camera kind of has this wobble to it. Mm. So even though your person's standing still and you've done a sharp move, it'll wobble, which makes aim. It visually, it's very cinematic, but trying to aim at shit makes it very difficult.
But I do enjoy the third person in ship in your starship. That. Is so good. The only thing I don't like about it is when you initiate your pulse engine, you know how like there's no way to view that in third person. You have to switch back to first person to see how much fuel you got left. Little thing. And character customization, they've increased the graphics, increased the freighter, like your big freighter ship.
But in terms of the graphics, we'll jump on there and then we'll actually have a big old discussion.
So I've heard a lot of people saying that they're getting a lot of FPS issues. I haven't had any.
Okay, so first of all, the game is noticeably better looking than it was before. Previously, it was very flat. It wasn't like flat as in flat textures. Mm. Every planet looked like almost slightly the same, but with very different colors.
I found a creature. Sorry, I found a creature on a planet last night. It was a hand.
Yeah, like, I found mushrooms.
It was like it had five legs and like a body, and was just running on two legs. It looked like a hand, just like.
Awesome.
That's cool as fuck.
See, before it was like back in the day, it was like a giraffe with big legs and thin legs, and like it was kind of, there was, it's almost like they had six different things and they just pulled the different parts together. Like it was randomly like, and you've got rolls of dice, thin legs.
Yeah.
Like there was none of that impressiveness to it, but the game itself is noticeably more impressive visually. The worlds do seem deeper and more vibrant, and the colors really pop because it now on top of that has HDR support.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, for those that have HDR capable TVs,
improved draw distance, improvements to planetary terrain generation, surfaces look more interesting from orbit, more diverse with more color palette variety, dense forests, large trees, abandoned empty systems.
Yeah, the terrain generation is the big thing for me.
How do the storms, look more dramatic, which I've noticed they look like cool as.
The terrain generation is the biggest notice that I've I've seen. So when you land, like, it looks more lush, or it looks more like desert, for lack of it. It looks more, I'm telling the right word, I'm trying to get a word, but it's not coming. It just
natural.
Looks... Yeah, it looks more like...
As natural as an alien planet can be.
Yeah, previously it would look like an algorithm, you know.
Tree here, can't have another tree within 3 meters, so the next tree is here. Whereas now it's like, I found a planet
and those trees are carbon copies of
each
other.
I found a planet where I essentially just found a jungle. Like, the trees were very, very close together for a very long period of time, and I could barely even walk through it. I had to, like, chop down trees to make my way through. Like, that's really cool. Speaking of the graphical enhancements, the first planet I landed on, I had a very hard time in the first half an hour.
Mm.
I'll get into that in a minute. But I was running around a snow planet, and it's like blizzard incoming. You, like, get to, you know, get in your ship or find a cave or something. I'm like, my ship's like yonder horizon over there. But it was cool because the blizzard came in kind of gradually. Like, I could notice there's a bit more snow. And then a few seconds later, like, I couldn't see my face in front of me. The character was like trudging through, like, and I'm like, this is sick. Like, I feel so isolated and alone right now on this alien planet, stuck in a storm, just trying to like live. I just had that little moment of like, I'm so alone and I'm so fucked. But yeah, they said, I can't confirm, they streamlined a lot of the resources and all that kind of stuff. Apparently it was very convoluted before.
That is also true.
Still seems a bit convoluted to me now.
Yeah.
But once you kind of wrap your head around it, it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's still a little fucked, but it's certainly easier now than it ever was before. In a good way.
But yeah, so my initial experience...
But that's all the information about the updates. There's
more. They've done a lot.
Yeah, done things. The UI's been updated. Space stations are completely different. Mm-hmm. You can go underwater now.
Added aliens, like literal aliens that will fuck you up. You can actually glitch them to make a whole lot of money. Near abandoned bases, you'll find alien eggs on the ground. And if you pick one up, all these aliens will come out. The eggs are worth $100,000 each, right? And they unlimited respawn, and they carry in stacks of five. So you pick up an egg, jump on the roof, wait for the aliens to despawn, grab another egg. I'm at like 6 million gold, or whatever the unit of dollars is, from like 10 minutes of just patiently waiting for the aliens to go. So yeah, that's a little funky, but it's cool anyway. But yeah, my initial experience I found very frustrating. I never played it before, so I loaded in and it's like, fix your starship, your thrusters. Okay, well, I need this and this. Oh, my mining gun run out, so the materials I got for that I now need to use to recharge my mining gun. And now I've got enough to do that. Now I've got to fix the thrusters, but there's my hazard protection's going down. I need sodium. Oh, my life support's going down. I need oxygen. And I'm just... It's very daunting, I think. And I think I actually restarted three times to try to get to a planet that I'm like... just is manageable.
Yeah.
And I eventually kind of found one. But I think just for the sake of their algorithms, start someone on a planet where there isn't environmental hazards. Because that was just another layer of shit. I'm just like, I don't fucking understand what's happening. Where is sodium? Where is oxygen? Fuck, there's a blizzard. I can't get in my ship because, like, it was very frustrating first half an hour.
Mm.
And, but once I kind of got past that, once I initially fixed the ship, it's pretty smooth sailing from there. But I found, yeah, the very first half an hour to be very daunting and just like information overload. You don't really know how to craft, you don't know where to get all these parts you need. And it's like, yeah, you use your scanner. What am I looking for? Like, what? Very frustrating. But after that, it was really good. And I'm just enjoying just flying around and just like doing my own thing. I fixed my warp drive last night. I was on this planet and I hear like explosions. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I look up to the sky and there was a space battle and the freighter lost and it was crashing through orbit onto the planet. And then I went over and started salvaging shit from this freighter. I was like, was that scripted? Is that random? I don't fucking know, but that was cool.
That's so awesome.
I look up to the sky and think like Star Wars, like this, what are they called? The Star Destroyers. Star Destroyers. Just like crashing down to Earth. And that's like what happened. I was like, that is awesome. That is so cool. And I found an abandoned ship, which is better than my ship, but all the parts are fucked on it. So now I'm spending all my time just fixing the ship. Because have you found an abandoned ship before? Yeah, so it's like you can fix the thrusters and the engine and you're good to go. But if you want all that extra inventory space, it's like broken hull, you know, radiation leak, which doesn't mean anything except you can't use that spot as storage until you fix that problem. So I just spent 3 hours last night just fixing this ship.
If you go to a space station, you can also just trade your ship.
But I just thought, no, I found this and I'm gonna fix it up. This is my ship. I'm going to fix it up. I spent 3 hours last night just fixing the ship until it was at a point I'm like, that's enough storage for now. I'm going to take it and go.
Was it rewarding?
It was, because I had 15 slots and this one had 32.
Ooh, good find.
Yeah, good find. And I'm like, this is too good to pass up. But it's probably going to take me about 8 hours to fully fix everything. But what's the rush? Mm. And that's kind of what I'm getting in this game. It's like, what's the rush? I'm just sitting there. Alex went to bed, poured myself a whiskey, and just put my headphones on because I found the sound and music to be very ambient. And the music, for one, is very fitting. You know, soft piano medleys, you know, it kind of makes you feel isolated, and the ambience is very good too. And, you know, built my little house, you know, I'm fixing my ship. It's like toxic storm incoming. Like, fuck, get inside the house, put some stuff in my refiner, look out the window. I'm just watching this storm going. I'm like, this is awesome. I fucking love it, man. It's so, and I think maybe because I don't have that sour taste in my mouth from the release, because I didn't play it, that it's not like don't feel like I'm relearning the game I already knew, kind of a thing. And it's just, to me, it's a whole fresh experience, and I'm just loving. I just sit there and go, what's the rush? And that's my whole motto with this game. It's like, fuck, you know, the ship's all broken, it's gonna take me ages to fix it, but that's okay, because like, there's no competition here, there's no like first to do this and that. It's like, I'm just gonna fix a fucking ship and then fly to another planet and do other cool stuff. And that's what I really like about it. But you streamed it, so you coming back to it, like, what was your initial like? You did play it initially, as you said
before. Yeah, so I did play it at launch. I did review it for us at the time. That's when we were doing written stuff, so it was a written review somewhere on the internet. Mm-hmm. I gave it a 5, like, out of 10. Like, as in, like, I enjoyed it. I love, because I'm farming games, man. Like, that grind is what I'm a fan of.
I enjoy grinds when there's like a purpose. Mm. I won't grind just because I'm bored, so I'm just going to grind. Like, yeah. You got to be grinding towards.
And that was my biggest problem with this game, is there was no purpose to the grind. Mm. As in, you would literally have enough to repair your ship, or enough to refuel, and then you're off.
To what end?
To what end? Until you center the universe and the game just starts again.
But to expand on my experience, and also like finding these alien structures that talk to you in these really like unsettling ways, like, you know, little things like they're watching you, or he has seen the Crimson Eye, all these really vague things. I'm like, it's really kind of foreboding as well. You're like, you feel so insignificant.
Mm.
And I like it. you know, you got all these other races and all that, and they can't understand you because you don't know their language, but you learn their language over time, then you can communicate better. It's cool.
Yeah, look, I love this. It's a bad game to stream because not much happens, so it's really difficult to sort of keep in.
That's unless you're trying to build a massive base or something.
Yeah, and see, that's the other conflict for me. So, like, obviously, when I originally played it, base building wasn't a thing. There was no vehicles outside of your ship, all that sort of stuff. Mm. And now I did put, like, 30 hours something into it at the time because I really enjoyed that chill grind, as you said. But it felt like... The way I remember saying it in the review was, it's like a carrot on the stick, but you never get the carrot, and the carrot shit. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, like you do that chase, but there's nothing worth chasing. Mm. And I still feel the game is a little bit that way as well. You know, in terms of if the whole purpose of the game is to proceed to the center of the universe, which is what we're led to believe it was. I don't know whether it's still the case now in terms of the story that's telling. I'm like, well, if I'm supposed to be moving from planet to planet, why would I build a big old base here?
Well, it's kind of... But you're building your own story, kind of a thing.
Exactly, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, for me, like, if there was a way that I could sort of, you know, do some space pirating or all these sort of stuff, which I just... Maybe I haven't dived into yet, because I know you can. I believe you can.
There are larger scale space battles now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can, like, actively take over other freighters that you see in space. I don't know. But you do get your own freighter, which you can send off to missions for you.
And that's something I'd like to do because, there is some more time that I'm going to need to spend with it, obviously, to get back to what I was. Mm. There are some things that are nicely streamlined, as you mentioned. Like, back in the day when you needed to find, you know, like, sodium and oxygen, all these sort of things, like... You would just have to mine random shit until you find what you needed. And you would eventually essentially just have to remember what had what.
And now they're just flowers that have a very distinct glow.
Yeah, very distinct glow.
You can see them from very far
away. And then using
your
scanner, it goes, boom, there's oxygen there. There's sodium there.
Yeah.
Which that never, that, as far as I recall, that was never there. So you're kind of mindlessly grinding. Mm. You know, so like there are, like in terms of the game itself, there are noticeable improvements and it is better for it.
Mm.
And I would like to spend some more time with it. I'm curious on whether multiplayer is going to make it better. Like,
well, they are adding in community events every week as well, which
that's
can be
cool.
Multiplayer. I don't know what the extent of it doesn't really say what the extent of it is.
Yes,
but that is something they are doing.
So don't get me wrong. Like, I am certainly not one of those people that were sour on it because my hype for it wasn't as much. I wasn't like redonkulous hype.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this looks interesting. I'll give it a burl. So, like, having a mert taste in my mouth, now I'm playing it, I'm like, it's slightly better, but it's still literally the same game.
What
the update has just made the same experience more visually
appealing.
You
could say pretty much the same thing about Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of playing that after the third year? The third year is when the story ends, mm-hmm. and you see your grandfather's spirit or whatever, and then it's like...
Spoilers.
What's the point?
Exactly.
From there.
Yes.
There isn't one. And
yes,
it's the same thing. You're building your farm.
But that's end game of any sort of games or any, you know, like MMO. You know,
but it's essentially the same as No Man's Sky. You kind of make your way to the middle of the center of the universe and then it's like, well, now what? And that's the same for a lot
I'll
of
I'll tell you exactly what happens. The game starts again and you start with nothing.
Yeah.
It's like a reset.
Yeah.
So it kind of negates every purpose. Like,
I don't know if it still does that.
Yeah, well, I believe it still does. Because the whole idea of getting to the center of the universe would be that this is the enlightening experience and you know, it should be this massive moment as per Sean Murray's cell.
Yeah.
And that's what
you
it was.
Could never live up to that statement.
No.
What I'm seeing a lot of on Reddit is people, you know, showing their bases or their cool planets and all that kind of stuff. But now, I don't know if this was a thing back then, they can give you the galactic coordinates for their planet and you can punch them into your warp drive and go visit their planet with their base. That wasn't a thing.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, so it's cool. So that base I just showed you, he put the coordinates in his... in the post, and then if I've got enough fuel or I've got the right whatever the fuck I need to travel that far, I can punch in the coordinates and go visit his planet with the base he built on it and actually look at it and go, wow, that is really cool, or you know, whatever. That's cool too. The community sharing engagement is there. Someone found a planet and they found a 30 meter triceratops, like that's them, and the thing was like this big, and they put the coordinates in and people look, all like there's other people putting up their screenshots like, hey, I'm on Triceratops planet, like taking a selfie and stuff like that. So it is cool. I don't know how much longer I'm going to play it, but for now, just sitting down and just kind of being in space is cool, because I've never really been one for space games. But this is a cool introduction to it, and I'm glad I jumped into it. And I think they did a very smart it was a smart move to make it 50% off everywhere at the same time they released this update. It was $26 on PSN,
not if you're buying on Xbox, you still pay full price.
Lol. But it was also for nearly a week it was top selling game on Steam, which is huge, outselling, you know, PUBG and all of that. The Steam player base went from 1,000 nearly to 100,000. That's obviously not going to stick. It's just a lot of people coming in to check out, you know, what's going on. But I said last week that I didn't think it would bring many people back. I was wrong. I was completely wrong. I underestimated how much people wanted this to be good. Careful with your audio, Josh. You broke up a bit. Your cord might be coming loose when you touch it. I just won't touch it. How about that? Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about it. I'm glad I jumped into it. I'm having a fun time. To what end? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying making my own kind of... I'm going to fix up this ship for 10 hours just because I want to. And then I'm going to try to find a planet and build a cool base on it because I can. And then after that might be it. But, yeah, I think it's cool. And big props to Hello Games for sticking with it. I'm glad they
did. So to their credit...
But that's what the whole story is really about. Yeah. You know, they stuck to their guns.
So the title of this video is No Man's Sky, a redemption story? Question mark?
A New Hope? Oi! Hello Games strikes back?
Oh! It's a bunch of Star Wars references.
Revenge of Sean Murray. yeah, that's all I have to say about it. I encourage...
Just wanted to gush for a little while.
I just wanted to gush for it. I encourage anyone to give it a go while it's cheap. Because even if you only get 10 hours out of it, at $26, I think that's a good buy.
It's a good win.
At full price, I don't know. But it is cheap everywhere right now. So I encourage you to have a look. And maybe show support to Hello Games. Yeah, initially they can't be forgiven for what happened.
As I said last week, like the Cause song, you're forgiven. Yeah. We haven't forgotten. Yeah.
But buying it now is also a way of being like, you know, thank you. Like, I respect you for sticking with it.
Yeah, you know, it's essentially going,
it wasn't all for naught. It wasn't all for naught.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't do all this just to have the same people return. You did interest new people and you interested me. So, two thumbs up.
Listen, No Man's Sky being a bit of an old game. Before I make a bad segue, let us know what you think of No Man's Sky and particularly the next update. Drop in those comments below. And I'll jump in there and have a chat with you. But, as you said, No Man's Sky came out about 2 years ago. If you don't want to jump into an old game, there's a bunch of random-ass games that are coming out this week in a section we call Coming to the Players, where we straight up read you the drop, written by a new man. That's Ryan Clements. He's no longer with PlayStation.
So, posted by Jason Massengill, social media manager at Sony Interactive Entertainment Australia.
America?
Same thing.
Not even.
So, first off, I didn't think they'd continue doing this.
Yes, after to their away. Power.
So Dead Cells, PS4 digital. This is a much hyped game.
Mm-hmm.
Experience of Roguevania. I just hate these terms that they come up with. Mixing an interconnected world, branching paths, and unlockable skills with constant adrenaline pumping threat of permadeath. That's a game. Defenders of Ekron, the definitive edition, PS4 digital. Look at this thumbnail.
That thumbnail.
The Dreamlands, Isling's Quest, PS4 and PS Vita digital. That's probably one of the worst pictures I've ever seen. Electronauts, PSVR digital. Flipping Death, PS4 digital. Madden NFL 19, PS4 digital and retail.
Retail later. Retail is a couple days later by the looks.
Overcooked 2, PS4 digital.
Yeah!
Overcooked returns with a brand new helping of chaotic cooking action. Journey back to the Onion Kingdom and assemble your team of chefs in classic couch, co-op, or online up to 4 players.
Hells yeah, we'll be playing that and I'll probably be streaming it at some point.
This next game's for you, Ryan. Poop Slinger, PS4 digital.
It's my perfect game.
A casual poop launcher game where poop and slingshots combine for one heck of a smelly experience. Slamland, PS4 digital. Tetris Escape, PS4, PS Vita digital. Crossbuy, We Happy Few, PS4 digital and retail.
Wait, already?
I think.
What date is it? 4th. Oh, shit. Okay. That's real soon.
It's out on the 10th. So, Friday.
Wow. That snuck up.
Was the Aussie release delayed from all this
The physical real version is delayed.
Okay. We Happy Few is a tale of a plucky bunch of moderately terrible people trying to escape from a lifetime of cheerful denial. Discover the retro-futuristic city's dark history as you play through the intertwined narratives.
You might give it a go.
No, I'll pass.
I'll see if I can get a code. I'll send some emails. Yeah.
Not for me.
And that's it?
That's it.
So speaking of last week, though, with the drop, did you end up picking up Chasm?
No.
Any particular reason? Because I did see that trailer and it looked awesome. It
does look cool. However, see, I said last week that Chasm was going to be one of those big indie hits,
yeah,
which it is going to be, but I didn't realise Death's Gambit was like 2 weeks away.
What's Death's Gambit?
Similar to Chasm in a way, but more, I guess, more Castlevania-y in the way of the graphic style is very dark, very fucked up, mm-hmm, like Dark Souls-y. Bit more faster paced. Is worth checking out the trailer for that, because that looks fucking incredible. I will get Chasm at some point. I didn't expect it to be nearly $30, though.
Yeah, same as Hello Neighbor. It's like $35.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah. But it's free on iPad.
It's so weird.
So weird.
And it's $60 on Switch. I think I talked about this last week.
Fucking Nintendo. But yeah, the next time I'm in a gaming drought, Chasm and Death's Gambit are definitely what I'm going to be picking up.
Very nice.
That PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculture. Sit over there. Check out the tiers. Might be something there that interests you.
And if you are a Patreon supporter at any level, you can watch us record this show live on Saturdays. You'll be given a nice little email about 15-20 minutes before, let you know that we're going live, and that is exclusive. And of course we are on Twitch at twitch.tv. Sending you something quickly about the drop. Links don't work. Ryan, check your Facebook. But of course, if you want to show the love of pop culture on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop.
Yep.
And you can buy shirts like this, like that, a bunch of other assorted garbage with logos on it. It's a lovely photo of Ryan Clements, him saying thank you with a big outside of PlayStation. Good old Ryan Clements. See. He started at IGN doing a PlayStation podcast as well.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Maybe we could be writing the drop real time. No. And of course, we are on Twitch at twitch.tv/popculturist. Wait, I did?
You did.
Fuck yes, we are done. I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players. Thanks, man.
See what happens when you get distracted by your phone?
Yeah, it was Paul's fault. Yeah, nothing to do with that one.
Paul's fault. No, even though I pick it up for 65 fucking episodes in a row.